Let's love him. Let's love him.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
And everybody said, praise the Lord. We are so happy to be with you. Great honor and privilege to minister at a general conference. My wife asked me when I dropped her off whether I was nervous. No. This is my job. I like my work. My work is full of surprises. I never know when I'm on the job, my dad might come by. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. Whew. Appreciate all the kind remarks. Great church that I'm having the privilege to pastor in Gainesville. Fasting and praying for me today. My sweet wife and baby here and some of the fine saints of God that have come. Appreciate you. Brother Rex Johnson, all you fine folks that had a part in asking me to come, thanks a lot. Think you made a great choice. Never changes. I'm not saying that egotistically. When I get asked to go to a place, I usually make it a matter of prayer, seeking God, whether I feel right about going. Brother Johnson called me one night, said, we'd like to have you come preach General Conference, Youth Day. I told Brother Johnson the other day in the vestibule, I said, never had something quite like that happen to me. You asked me to preach General Conference. And when you asked me, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and gave me a message that day to preach. And I said, I'll come. And I've got something to say. Oh, hallelujah. Want to read in your hearing, if you will just bear with me another moment. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21. You know, it's a funny thing when you sit in a conference or a convention and you watch all them dudes and cats walk across the pulpit. You listen to them give all that jazz about, well, I'm glad this and thank that. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. And now it's my turn to stand up here, and I really don't want to say all that jazz. I'll just say thanks, and let's get with the program. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it, for a garden of herbs. Sound like a hippie. Garden of herbs. Something in that garden could produce life, and that slob wants to grow herbs. It says, because it's near unto my house. Now give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my father unto thee. Ahab only wants his vineyard. because where it's located. It's right next to his house. Now, I can't prove nothing, and I didn't come to prove nothing. This preaching we've heard has been supernatural. I'm not chasing anybody to outdo nobody, but I feel like God gave me another brick to add to the building. Unto the pure, all things are pure. I want to talk to you. My subject is beyond the position of a believer. Beyond the position of a believer. Lord, bless the word of God to our hearts. Thank you for this great conference, for your anointing, for your comfort, the confidence I feel in my soul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you. Now, Lord, would you please lay your mighty hand on me so I preach real good. I can't preach a lick if you don't help me. And I pray you lay your hand on all these folks. Lay it on their brain. Lay it on their hearts. Lay it on their spirit. Lay your hand on our attitudes. Ha! Jesus, minister to the body of Christ now. Minister to us in the deep of the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I ain't got much time. I mean, I'm not saying that insultingly. You give me 2 hours, I ain't got much time. Folks ask me sometimes, I come and preach so hard and so long. I got a lot to say. I ain't got much time to say it. We're racing the rapture. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. We ain't got time to patty cake for Jesus. It's now or never. We got to hit it, get it, and go, honey. We got to build a church for Jesus Christ before the coming of the Lord. We don't have time to build our private kingdoms. It's now or never. We stand today in a glorious position before God. I want to tell you, you're not some second-rate ding-a-ling that just got the Holy Ghost, that was baptized in Jesus' name. You're not some insignificant something. You're special to God. When you have a position, there many times comes great danger with positions. There comes great danger. You don't believe me? If you can find John F. Kennedy, ask him. Ask him. He was all right till he got to be president. And when he got that position, it became dangerous. Amen. Now you go slow, I'll go slow. You don't think it's dangerous to have a powerful position? Ask the Pope of Rome. Ask him what happened last year. My friends, if you don't think it's a dangerous thing to be in a glorious position, you need to stop by the White House next week and watch as the big black limousines pull up hour in and hour out with ambassadors from all kinds of countries. And if you've ever noticed them, they never get out of the car first. The car stops. These two little fellas jump out that have a funny bulge under their coat. That's not Anderson. You was in Brooklyn, they call it a heater. They jump out of those limousines and they look around. Why? They got precious cargo in that car. They represent something bigger than themselves. Stick with me, it's fixing to smoke.
clear. They open the door. Out steps the ambassador for China. Just kind of walks in. They walk behind him. He walks to the meeting room. They walk behind him. Next, the ambassador from France and from Belgium and from this nation and this country. They all got these funny little guys called bodyguards. Why? Because of the position that they hold.
Hallelujah.
You ready? Know you not that we are ambassadors for Christ? We've got bodyguards. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear his name. I walked in here with an angel in front of me. I walked in with one behind me. I've got one over here. I've got one over there. I'm telling you, the devil can't get to me. The devil can't get to me. I've got a position. I've got a position that's powerful. If I could take my few little fleeting moments, I could love to do some surgery on Pentecostal brains. Now, they've asked me to be Jeff Arnold. I thought about changing and being nice. I just don't know how. I'm just always the same. I'm a crude slob. I ain't got no manners. I say creep and dudes and cats, but that's me. And I'm not frustrating the Holy Ghost to try to impress you with some dignity. But I'd like to impress you with who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm somebody special in God, and so are you. Listen to me. My God in heaven. Now I feel super duper. Oh. You know why I like Pentecost? I'll just tell you. I'll just let it all hang loose, Doc. Because I'm among friends. If you're my enemy, you are staying hid so well. I'm dumb enough to think everybody loves J.W. That's me. Why? I'm God's kid. You'd be ignorant if you didn't love God's kid. You get nasty to God's kid, he'll pick you up and shake you by your head. We've got to go beyond a membership card in UPC. We've got a position far better than the United Pentecostal Church. We are ambassadors for Christ's sake. We are the children of Almighty God. We've got a glorious position. Now just stick with me here. Just hold on. Israel had all kinds of problems. Why? Because they were chosen. Everybody look at me and say, I'm chosen. Say, I'm chosen. Then why do you act like you're somebody? He's a beggar. He's a beggar. When Jesus found you, we're not careful. We act like God got a big favor when we got saved. Don't go to sleep now. Israel was chosen by God. They were blessed by God. They were fed by God. They were protected by God. And they were hated by Satan. Why? Not because who they were, but where they were. They had a position in God's heart. You ain't got it yet. I won't go slow. We think that the old devil, he hates our guts because we don't do certain things the world does. That's baloney. You just stay where you is. I can preach in a library. It don't bother me at all. The devil don't hate us because our women have standards and our men have standards. He hates us because of our position in God. God has told me to tell you that you need to discover today where you are. When you learn where you are, you'll appreciate who you are. You see, we live in a danger. We've got a double danger. We've got a danger of having something and not knowing it. It's like the man who has a wallet, holds a $20 bill in it, and puts it in a secret compartment so he won't spend it. And then the dummy forgets it. And he runs out of gas and got to go walking. And all the while, he got a 20 spot on the hip. But he done hid it away, and he don't really know he got it. Maybe you got something you don't know you got. The other danger is knowing what you got and not using it. The rich man that dies with a shoebox full of $100 bills, living on cheese and crackers, Twinkies, 7-Up. Buy and sell this auditorium. But he won't use it. He's just as ignorant as a cat who don't know he got it. We've got to wake up to what's ours. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Now, I'm not a Greek philosopher, and I'm not a Greek wise guy. But I know one thing, in that verse of Scripture, those two words that are listed as power are not the same words. The first word, originally translated, means authority. The second one is power. Now let's read it. "Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy." I mean, you've got authority over devils. Why don't you use it? You've got authority over sickness. Why don't you claim it? All right. Being that I'm wowing you with this spiritual revelation, I'll step back in the carnal realm and help you. I drove this car out here that my fine church rented me. So sweet. And I went out here right out the road. Now you watch this. We're fixing the juke and jump just a little. I drove out the road here, and there was this feminine species. She's standing out there. The light was out. 5'2", eyes of blue, 130 pounds. And she got an orange hand. And I pulled up my $22,000 Lincoln. And this chick with the orange hand says, "Stop." I said, "Don't you know who I am? I'm driving a $22,000 Lincoln. IMJWR. I'm on my way to a banquet. I must hurry. Would you please get your carcass out of the way. Now just stick with me, because it's going to blow you away. This little gal with an orange hand expected me to stop. What's this? How come she expects me to stop? She's received delegated authority. Now, she'd be a dummy to put her body out in front of my car and say, I said, stop! There's 3 18-wheelers on that road. She just holds up that orange hand. There's 60 tons of steel trying to come down that street, and here's this chick. She ain't got the power, but there's something downtown that's backing her up that gives her her boldness and her authority. I know another one who was the temple of God on this earth when the ocean got raging and the wind got blowing. He just went up on the bow of the ship and lifted up his hand. And the church is the body of Christ. You've got authority. You've got a badge. City Hall's going to back you up. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of your enemy. What a position. You can sit down. You'll be up again in a minute. Hey, I'm going to try to say some things without being rude. I'm going to try to say things without violating your theology. That's the gospel truth. Even Jesus couldn't do it. Nevertheless, you believe a little different than I'm preaching, that's your privilege to be wrong. Because I ain't preaching out of a comic book. And I'll go one step further, and I'm not preaching out of the manual either. We better wake up in Pentecost, lest the manual outweigh the Bible. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you realize who you are and where you are, I shouldn't have to give you a 44-page manuscript on what you should do and what you shouldn't. Now just stick with me. Not preaching for no response. I like to hear me. I do. One of my favorite preachers. You know why? Because I know that in me, I'm a nothing. Some of you can't say that. I can say it. I know where my bread's buttered. I know the slop that he picked me up at. I wasn't born from my mother's womb talking in tongues like some of you think you were. I come out of a Jack Daniels bottle. I come out of houses of ill repute. I come out of honky-tonks. And it's blowing my mind why you Pentecostals that have had this glorious heritage want to go back to that. I just came from there. Hallelujah. You've got a better position now than when you was in the world. You're his child. You've got glory. awaiting you. I gotta hurry. I ain't got started. I gotta hurry. Son, I love this stuff. If you don't love preaching, get saved. If some of you preachers can preach good, why don't you pray through this conference so you could preach good? God don't want a bunch of spiritual dingbats pastoring churches. You need to have the fire boiling in your soul. You need to have a touch of the Holy Ghost. Your sheep are waiting for you to give them direction. Like sheep, like shepherd, like priest, like people. You preachers are carnal. Don't expect your saints to be spiritual. Reverend Rose, would you read for me, Doc? Thank you. I want you to read 1 Kings 21. You just stay there. Oh, man, I hope you get to shake it. All you cats that don't believe in emotion, you be quiet. Because when I used to go to football games, I was a screaming. When I used to be a honky-tonking, I was a dancing and wiggling and getting after. When I used to get drunk, I was the last one to close the bar. Just because I got religion, I didn't get no refinery. I'm still dancing. I'm still jumping. I'm still having a time. But I got a better position than I used to have. There's some glory with this position. Stop thinking you're second rate. Give me a seat in a second. I got to get to my sermon. Read here. Read for me, Rev.
What verse?
Just read anything. I believe I can shout on tithes. You know why I can shout on tithes? I pay them. Oh, glory. Ain't I, Case? Oh, God. Listen to me, young person. I'm coming at you now. Don't put up your shield. Just open your mouth and eat. Don't put up your shield. Open your mouth and eat. Read for me, Rev. Verse 1.
And it came to pass after these things,
yeah,
that Naboth the Jezreelite said it had a vineyard which was in Jezreel.
Let's go down
to 3. You already read that.
Go ahead.
Go to 3. And Naboth said to Ahab.
Want you to know something. Naboth is a nice guy. And Ahab is a slob.
That's right.
And anybody that leaves God is a slob. And if you quit God, you ought to go to hell. I didn't know I wouldn't get much on that. That's all right. I am so sick. Listen to me. I'm so sick of wiping saints' noses and changing their spiritual diapers, trying to keep them in the church. We need some backbone in the souls of men and women. We need to realize our position in God. There's preachers all over the fellowship cracking up. Because they got a council. Leave me alone. Let me get to the pulpit. Let me preach under the anointing. Let me get a hold of God for you. Don't wear me out telling me your same dumb problems.
All right.
Read.
Hallelujah. Good preaching,
you ain't just a whisper.
That's the truth.
I'm going to learn how to do that, Rex. I like that. Oh, husband, he goes, son, can you imagine what angels think of when they watch us? Some of you go, some doing war hoops. Some doing, I feel sorry for you cats ain't doing nothing. Read, Rev.
The Lord forbid it me.
The Lord forbid it me.
That I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.
There's a writing in the book of Leviticus that God gave to Israel and said, the land which was the promised land is mine. You cannot sell the land. Now watch. The Holy Ghost is our inheritance. You gals, you guys, I know you're under peer pressure. Don't you dare give your inheritance away.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord forbid it. Man, there's a spirit in the land. It's trying to work its way in Pentecost. It wants us to prostitute the high call of God for some chicken feed. It wants us to cut corners and let a bunch of pigs and idiots and goats come among us. Friend, we need to have a clean inheritance. We need to have a clean house. We don't need to sell out to the devil. You hear me now? I'm not a great pastor, but I'm all they got right now. And I'm just a learning. But there has been a spirit attacking my heart, my mind, my attitude. When I watch everything growing, everything blowing, and here I'm fumbling with flipping old Yance's charts. I keep reading them reports. Another 40 got paid through. Another 20 got the Holy Ghost. This guy's running 240. This guy's running 360, and I'm still fumbling with charts. And there's a spirit that comes to me and says, why don't you forget it and just let anything go? But if I let anything go, I'll wake up one morning and I'll have a barn full of goats and I won't have no sheep. And I'm called to be a shepherd and I'm not supposed to take care of goats, because if you turn your back on a goat, he'll butt you. I am a preacher.
Yes, sir. You sure are.
Now, you just stick with me a second here. I'm going as quick as I can. Read for me, Rev. I want you to read verse 2, would you, Doc?
Yes, sir. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying...
You know who Ahab is, Reverend Hugh? Ahab is a stinking Jewish Hebrew backslider. He's born under the same covenant promise Naboth had. He got the same birth certificate Naboth got. But that slob gave in to his old lady. She's president of the ERA. There's been many a preacher lost his anointing from God because he couldn't keep his old lady straight. It's a gift of God to have a wife that will walk in submission and love the work of God. You gals, don't get in front of your old man. Read. Hurry, I gotta go.
Give me my vineyard.
Yeah, give me your vineyard.
That I may have it for a garden of herbs.
Yeah, I want to grow some asparagus and sunflower seeds and turn into a purple daffodil and smoke a few mushrooms and things. Said, I want it for herbs.
Because it is near to my house.
Because I don't like the position that you're in. And the world is saying to you, come on, cut the corners. Come on, lay down some of your standards. Come on, give up this and that. I don't like your position. Tough, buddy. It's tough, buddy. I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I'm a child of God. You don't like my position, but it's powerful. Read another minute.
And I will give thee for it a better vineyard.
My God, Uncle Rex, how in the name of Jesus can a backslider give you something better than you got?
No way.
How can a world that can't stay sober bring you joy and peace? How can you gals who go to school with some of you Christians who can't even keep their virtue, how are they going to show you happiness? He said, I'll give you a better vintage. Now, baby, how are you going to give me something better than what my dad gave me? I got an inheritance. Now, listen to me. I don't want you to misconstrue me. Forget that misconstruing garbage. We need to graduate from that garbage. We need to stop second-guessing people when they say something and wonder if they're disguising something. Some of us aren't disguising anything. We're just telling you the God's honest truth. Get so sick of you preach a message and then some imbecile with a brain like a firecracker walks over to you and says, what exactly did you mean? Well, bless God, bless Jesus. I don't mean exactly what I'll say. Why can't the pulpit just say what it means and mean what it says and you take it for that? All right, go ahead, continue. We're going to go now.
If it seems better to thee.
Yeah, if it's better to you.
I'll give thee its worth in money.
How can you give me money for something that's priceless? How much is the blood of Jesus worth? How much is Jesus' name baptism worth? How much is the Holy Ghost talking in tongues worth? How much is the New Jerusalem worth? Tell me, how much money you got? I'll go one step further. You got enough money to buy that which angels want to look into? Angels want what you got and can't have it. And you mean you're going to give it to some flunky for a can of beer or a box of Skol? You don't know your position yet.
That's right.
Now just stick with me just one more second. I want you to get me a scripture, Rev. On Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. I got to hurry. My Lord, I don't want to hurry, but I got to hurry. You see, now you pardon. Okay. I've wrestled with this, but you're going to have to pardon my reference right now. Because I know we're in the midst of video and TV and all that jazz. That's fine. Whatever you say, I will abide. But I got to make reference because, you see, I wasn't born juking and jumping. I wasn't born on a Pentecostal pew. I've been so just overwhelmed during the whole last two or three nights because everybody that preached around here is an official or somebody. And I ain't nobody. I ain't got no parents in the church. I ain't got no relatives in the church. I don't have nobody. Just me and Patty. That's all we got. And I'm just amazed that I'm even allowed to speak here. I mean, show nobody on a platform at a conference. And I feel I can say things freely because I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to protect nothing. But I want you to know I am sold on my position. I have got a position in God that you did not give me, that the world did not give me, that my own being did not give me. When I was lost and undone, Jesus walked into my life and gave me my position. He gave me my birth. He gave me my glory. He gave me my power. It wasn't anything anybody else did. Oh. What I'm trying to say is this, and please forgive me if it hurts you. I don't mean to hurt you. But I was raised on television, okay? So I'm only saying that because I want to make a reference to it, okay? I'm not some abominable snowman or anything. I'm just going to make a reference to television, okay? But I was raised on it. My mom and dad were sinners. We were raised in New York. And we used to watch a program. Now, when I say the program, all you cats that try to act spiritual, you now act dumb like you don't know the program. We used to watch a program called Gunsmoke. Now, nobody, don't look straight. Everybody look straight. Okay. We got by that rough place right now. Okay. And in Gunsmoke, old Matt Dillon, he is the marshal. Dodge City. See, I got to explain all this for you because you don't know nothing about it. Old Matt Dillon, he's a big old cat. He's about 6'6", 6'8", about 255. Had a long gun. He broke right at his knee joint here. And he had a fella that worked with him named Festus. Don't act like you know. And sometimes old Marshal Dillon had to leave Dodge City. And he'd say, "Now, don't feel bad what I'm going to do. Look, Festus, I got to leave Dodge City to go pick up some prisoners." And he'd reach inside his shirt, and he'd pull out a badge. "You're in charge, baby, till I get back." And the Grand Marshal of the whole universe stood on the Mount of Olives and took off his badge and pinned it on the church and said, "Whatsoever you loose is loose. Whatsoever you bind is bound. You're in charge till I get back." Because when Jesus was raised from the dead, the scripture said he led captivity captive and gave gifts. Come in. The one translation in Colossians and Ephesians says that when he nailed all that ceremonial jazz to his cross and all our transgressions and trespasses to his cross, he said he made an open show of them, triumphing over the powers of heaven. The one translation says he stunned them. I'm an old ex-fighter. You tell my face all wiped out. And before you ever knock something out, honey, you got to stun it. You got to. You just can't come in and give me old Muhammad Ali 1-2. You watch any good fighter, when he gets ready to knock something out, he just works on it a while. And finally gets that one good shot when he sees an opening, and he just kind of, boom. And when he does, his opponent goes, "Oh." He ain't knocked out. He just stunned. He didn't fall yet. He just stunned. And he trying to cover up. And some of you are giving a slob too much room to get a breather. Because he's going to get knocked out in a little while. But while he's stunned and on the ropes, let's build a church while he's stunned and on the ropes. Let's take our authority and use it. He has no power over the church. I heard one fellow say, "Brother Sism, that when the Lord resurrected, he grabbed a hold of that lion." That's where the devil is, lion. Grabbed him by the mouth, yanked out his teeth. So now when a slob tries to get you, all he can do is gum you. That's the truth. Too many Pentecostals live in fear of the devil.
That's right.
You're afraid the cat's going to jump on you. He wouldn't jump on you with his mother-in-law's feet, Doc. He wouldn't do it. You're too hot. You got the Holy Ghost. You're God's kid. You've got a special position in the kingdom of God. He does not have authority. You've been given authority.
Now, I got to go quick, and I'm running out of time. I ain't running out of anointing. You think I am, but I ain't. You just read for me, Rev.
When we were dead in sin.
When we were dead in sin.
He hath quickened us together with
Made us
Christ.
Alive. Wait a minute. Watch that, Rev. It said, He made us together. Well, just read that.
He hath quickened us together with Christ.
With Christ.
By
with,
grace.
Wait, no. Saved. Hold.
Okay.
With Christ. You were made alive with Christ.
Absolutely.
When? When He was resurrected in the mind of God, you were resurrected. Now, that kind of violated your brain, but that's all right. Now, watch this. Read the next verse. Come on, Rev.
Get ready.
Here we go, baby.
And hath raised us up together. And hath made us to sit
where
in heavenly
place. Where are we today? I ain't Louisville. Just my body is in Louisville. Made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a glorious position the church has. If you can receive it this day, you are reigning with Christ in heaven. Well, you missed it, but we're going. Hear me. When old Matt Dillon put the badge on Festus, he said, I'll give you all the authority I got, baby. You're in charge. But he also said, in case some of the rebels won't listen, keep your gun handy. The cops of today, Uncle Rex, he'd say, keep your nightstick ready. Sometimes your authority ain't enough, so you got to use some weapons. And one writer said, our weapons are not carnal.
That's right. They're not carnal.
But mighty.
Mighty.
Through the pulling down of strongholds.
Hallelujah.
And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Every imagination. Now stick with me. I want to finish. I got to finish. You got to go play racquetball. You got to go play golf. Or you got to go to a banquet. You just go on, babe. And when everybody's finished, my wife will be sitting there. I'm going to finish it. I want one last scripture, Rev. Luke 15 and 4. I'm going to quit. I'm still got 5 minutes, right? 5 minutes. I can't finish, but I'm going to. I want to show you something. Read for me very quickly.
What man of you... What man of you having 100 sheep?
Yeah, what manner of you have 100 sheep?
If he lose one of them.
If he lose one of them.
Doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And go after that which was lost.
God, I wish I had 3 hours. I'd like to take this thing and turn this conference around with a ministry of restoration.
Well, thank God. That's great. Wonderful.
We got every kind of program you could possibly conjure up. Except weepers. Except the spirit of restoration that reaches out to someone that makes a mistake.
Yes,
hear me now. Please. If I commit adultery. If I go on drugs. If I get weak. And go drinking and honky-tonking and backslide. Will somebody please come see about me?
Oh, God.
Or will it be over a cup of coffee or over a luncheon? I wonder who's getting Jeff's church.
Come on.
My heart is longing to know that we have a spirit among us
that will restore people that don't do it just right.
All right.
Read. The shepherd went out looking for the sheep.
And when he had found
it. And when he found the sheep, he grabbed that sheep and punched his teeth out and kicked him in the side and said, "You damnable old reprobate, how dare you bring all this shame on our church? Why, you dirty rat, God ought to kill you. God ought to ruin you. You don't understand how you've embarrassed me." He never did it. He never did it. The shepherd went and he knelt down and he picks up the sheep. He picks up the sheep. Yes, the sheep is wrong. Yes, they're wrong, but they need someone to care. They need someone to help. They need someone that can restore them back to the fold.
All right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm 2 minutes away. Just sit down a second. Watch this. Oh, watch this. Reverend Rose, watch this, baby. Me and you, okay? Reed, watch this.
Oh, he put it on his shoulders and he
Wait a minute. This old sheep is in a bad position. He done backslid. He done lost out with God. He's out here in the cold. He's sitting here eating the fruit of his own ways. He knows he's fumbled the ball. He knows he's made a mistake. It's the biggest curse. It is the curse of our generation that people that backslide or have trouble with their walk with God cannot feel welcome again when they come to the United Pentecostal Church, because we scrutinize them and we damn them and we condemn them. Where are the weepers? Where are the prayer warriors? Where are those that would restore someone that falls short of the things of God? Scripture said the shepherd picks up that sheep.
That's it.
But notice he doesn't carry the sheep. He lays it in a beautiful position on his shoulders. Why does he lay it on his shoulders? Because Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." What a place for a sheep that's not doing so good to climb on the shoulders of the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. Listen to me. That next word is a beautiful word. Reverend Rose, would you read that? He said, "He layeth it on his shoulders and what?
Rejoicing."
The interpretation of that scripture, the absolute rendition of that scripture is, that word rejoice means to become ecstatic, to leap with joy, to dance as in ecstasy. You think the sheep who comes home got happy. It's the shepherd that's shouting. And when that sheep gets on his shoulders, the Bible said all of heaven gets to rejoicing. Now I'm finished, but I ain't. I'm going to close with this. Thank you for letting me come. You're so sweet. I'm going to tell you why. I preach like I do and live like I do. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why the devil hates your ever-loving guts. I'm going to tell you why. It ain't because you're against A, B, C, and D. About 3:30 this morning, the Holy Ghost woke me up. In fact, I didn't even think I was asleep. I preached this thing 5 hours during the night. But the Holy Ghost spoke to me, Brother Rex Johnson, and said, "Jeffrey, tell the people, be careful, lest your measure of Christianity is no more than a list of things you don't do." I don't cuss. I don't smoke. I don't cheat. I don't lie. Well, you're not supposed to, you dummy. The Mennonites don't smoke. The Quakers don't smoke. The Amish Dutch don't smoke. So what? That's not even holiness. That's righteousness.
Amen.
Holiness is the character of God that lives in us and helps us to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, His Son. Give me a 2-minute extension. Sit down. We'll just eat a cold hamburger. It'll be all right. Read. I want to show you something. Read Romans 8:15. Would you, Doc? And I'm quitting. You don't want to know why the devil hates your guts? You want to know why the devil always tries to divide us? You want to know why the devil tries to frustrate your brain with a worry wart and why you can't sometimes get the victory? I'm going to tell you right now. It's only because, hearing now, you're going to be tough to swallow. It's only because of our position. Hear me. It's not because of our doctrine. It's not because of our clothes. It's not because we don't go to the movies. It's not because we don't smoke and drink and lie and cheat. No, 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 no. That's not why the devil hates you. That's not why he hates you. There's a particular reason why he hates you. Writer of Hebrews chapter 1 said, neither at any time hath God ever spoken to an angel and said, you are my son. But watch what he says to the Christian. Read, Rev.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear.
But what kind of spirit did we get?
But ye have received the spirit of adoption.
Satan, when he lived in the state of Lucifer, was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the exalted one of God, the height of God's creation, but he was only a servant. He was never in the family of God. Now are ye the sons of God. You're in the family of God. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. Rex, you're closer to God than Lucifer ever was. Harry Sism, you're a son of God. I don't care how powerful the devil was. I don't care how long he's lived. He has never been God's offspring. He was only created as a ministering spirit for the will of God. But when God got ready to take care of the void of angels that fell, He said, I'm not going to make you a servant. I'm not going to just make you a servant. I'm going to send a spirit of adoption into your hearts. I'm going to make you one of my family. Hear me. I close again. You don't get it. And I don't expect you to get it. I don't expect nobody in this whole joint to get it but me. Because I see you and your cliques, and that's fine. And I'm just a freako and oddball. I ain't got nothing. I don't have 20 guys that are always hanging around me like I'm some Pied Piper. I ain't got it. It's just me. It's all I am. I'm by myself. That's okay. Fine. Don't worry about it. I want to tell you why. Some of you is natural born in the Pentecost. You's raised in it. Like that made you something. I wasn't natural born. I'm adopted.
Amen. Amen.
All the years of my growing up, I used to always feel sorry for kids as adopted. I already did. I hope I can say this without being ostracized, and hope you won't cancel all my camp meetings and all that jazz. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. I am not a sensual, sexual freako. I am not.
but we're big boys and girls. And in the process of marriage, sometimes when you've finished producing your offspring, that's it. And then all of a sudden, one day, Pop comes home, and Mom's 42, and he's 39 or 41, and she says, guess what? And he says, oh, God. Says, we're going to have a baby. Now, I don't know how else to do it except in Brooklyn East talk and just kind of say, that's what I call an oops. It's an unplanned birth. Mom and Dad didn't plan on having no more kids. Are you there? Is that you, Sister Mangan? You hear me talking now. That parent didn't plan on having no more kids. But they lived with it. It wasn't planned. It just happened. And they're stuck with that kid. I'm going to tell everybody here, and the devil to his nasty, ugly face, God ain't stuck with none of us. Because when you get adopted, honey, it's on purpose. So when the devil comes and says, you ain't so great, you say, you're probably right. But guess what, flunky? I'm his son. You were made out of nothing. I was made out of something. You ain't never had the Spirit of God in you, devil, but I got it. Man, if you could grab this and go home with it, you are adopted by the divine purpose and will of God. God went looking for you. God went window shopping, and He brought you into the family of God. I don't want to wear out my welcome. Would you stand? I'm sorry, Reverend Johnson. I'm 10 minutes late. I'm sorry. I'm not finished, but I'm sorry. Would you read? Let me finish, Mom. You can talk in a minute. Read for me. Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. Read for me. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to send your crib full, pal. I am so in love with Jesus. You see, here's the tragedy. Pentecostals get over getting saved. And I ain't never got over it. Some folks get over being born again. I walk through this conference with my head high and say, I'm adopted. Read for me, Reverend Rose, Exodus 33, 21. We're going home.
And the Lord said, behold.
Behold.
There is a place by me.
For you.
And thou shalt stand upon a rock.
God talking to Moses.
And it shall come
God's to pass. Talking to Moses. God's talking to the United Pentecostal Church. God's talking to every one of us as individuals. And He's saying to you
and
in 1983 that there is a place by Him for you. And it shall come to pass, what?
While my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock.
Here is the difference, and I'm finished, between UPC and the rest of denominational Christianity. They are on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, they are. They believe on Jesus. They are on the rock. The Pentecostals are in the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock.
And will cover thee with my hand while I pass by.
Listen to me. There's a position that goes beyond just believing. Everybody in this whole place ought to go to your banquets. Tell them Arnold made you late. Go to your different appointments. But look at him and smile and say,
I had some preacher telling me I was a son of God. And I'm checking out my birth certificate. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.